Stars twinkle above a river, snaking its way into the distance through an idyllic valley. In the foreground, a fairy tale castle with needle-like turrets looms into view. Fireworks explode above the castle that sits on the riverbank. Trails of twinkling lights form an arc above the castle, and below it, the word Disney forms. Flickering pages form the vintage animation of a whistling Mickey Mouse at the wheel of a steamboat. His creator's swirling signature sweeps across the screen. Walt Disney Animation Studios. Walt Disney Pictures presents Shafts of sunlight cut through tall, straight fir trees in an idyllic forest. Water gently cascades down rocks and into a babbling brook. Beyond the trees are the tall, pointed turrets of a huge medieval castle.
Once upon a time, in a faraway land, a young prince lived in a shining castle. Although he had everything his heart desired, the prince was spoiled, selfish, and unkind. But then, one winter's night, an old beggar woman came to the castle and offered him a single rose in return for shelter from the bitter cold. Repulsed by her haggard appearance, the prince sneered at the gift and turned the old woman away. But she warned him not to be deceived by appearances, for beauty is found within. And when he dismissed her again, the old woman's ugliness melted away to reveal a beautiful enchantress. The prince tried to apologize, but it was too late, for she had seen that there was no love in his heart. And as punishment, she transformed him into a hideous beast and placed a powerful spell on the castle and all who lived there. Ashamed of his monstrous form, the beast concealed himself inside his castle with a magic mirror as his only window to the outside world. The rose she had offered was truly an enchanted rose which would bloom until his 21st year. If he could learn to love another and earn her love in return by the time the last petal fell, then the spell would be broken. If not, he would be doomed to remain a beast for all time. As the years passed, he fell into despair and lost all hope. For who could ever learn to love a beast?
Beauty and the Beast. Belle, a beautiful young woman in a bright blue pinafore dress over a white blouse, a white apron tied at the waist, and a blue bow tying back her long brown hair, skips out of a higgledy-piggledy cottage with a pointed roof and turret-like chimney. Birds swoop down as if to greet her. Swinging a basket, she meanders along a twisting path towards the town.
Little town, it's a quiet village. Every day, like the one before. Little town, full of little people. Waking up to say...
Bonjour!
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 There goes the baker with his tray like always. The same old bread and rolls to sell. Every morning just the same. Since the morning that we came to this poor provincial town.
Good morning, Belle.
Morning, monsieur.
Where are you off to?
The bookshop. I just finished the most wonderful story about a beanstalk and an ogre and
that's a... nice. Marie! The baguettes! Hurry up!
Look, there she goes. That girl is strange. No question. She's ready to tell.
The part of any crowd.
Cause her head's upon some cloud.
No denying she's a funny girl, that Belle.
Bonjour.
Good day.
How is your family?
Bonjour.
Good day.
How is your wife? I need 6 eggs.
That's too expensive.
There must be more than this provincial life.
Ah,
Belle!
Good morning. I've come to return the book I borrowed.
Finished already?
Oh, I couldn't put it down. Have you got anything new?
Not since yesterday.
That's all right. I'll borrow this one.
That one? But you've read it twice.
Well, it's my favorite. Borrow places, daring sword fights, magic spells, a prince in disguise.
If you like it all that much, it's yours.
But, sir...
I insist.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Look, there she goes, the girl is so peculiar. I wonder if she's feeling well.
With a dreamy thought.
And her nose stuck in a book.
A puzzle to the rest of us is bad.
Favorite part because you'll see here's where she meets Prince Charming, but she won't discover that it's him till chapter 3.
Now it's no wonder that her name means beauty. Her looks have got no parallel.
But behind that fair facade, I'm afraid she's rather odd. Very different from the rest of us.
She's nothing like the rest of us. She's different from the rest of us.
A fat duck is shot from the sky. A squat, squashy-faced little lump of a man with big hands, LeFou, gathers it up.
Wow, you didn't miss a shot, Gaston! You're the greatest hunter in the whole world!
I know.
No beast alive stands a chance against you. And no girl for that matter.
It's true, LeFou. And I've got my sight set on that one.
The inventor's daughter?
She's the one. The lucky girl I'm going to marry.
But she...
The most beautiful girl in town.
I know, but...
That makes her the best. And don't I deserve the best?
Well, of course. I mean, you do, but under the...
Right from the moment when I met her, saw her, I said she's gorgeous and I fell. Here in town, there's only she who is beautiful as me. So I'm making plans to woo and marry Belle.
Look there, he goes. Isn't he dreaming? Monsieur, he's so... Oh, he's so cute. He's still my heart. I'm hardly breathing. He's so...
Oh,
no. May we?
You call this bay?
What hurt me, Chris? 10 yards.
Excuse me.
I will get to the...
Please let me through.
It's
stale.
They smell.
Madame's mistake.
There must be more than this provincial life.
Just watch, I'm going to make Belle my wife.
Handsome, muscular, lantern-jawed Gaston blocks Belle's path.
Hello, Belle.
Bonjour, Gaston. Gaston, may I have my book, please?
How can you read this? There's no pictures.
Well, some people use their imagination.
Belle, it's about time you got your head out of those books and paid attention to more important things. Like me.
Three blondes swoon.
The whole town's talking about it. It's not right for a woman to read. Soon she starts getting ideas and thinking.
Gaston, you are positively primeval.
Why, thank you, Belle. What do you say you and me take a walk over to the tavern and take a look at my trophies?
Maybe some other time.
What's wrong with her?
She's crazy.
He's gorgeous.
Please, Gaston, I can't. I have to get home to help my father. Goodbye.
That crazy old loon, he needs all the help he can get.
Don't talk about my father that way.
Yeah, don't talk about her father that way.
My father is not crazy. He's a genius.
Smoke from an explosion rises from Belle's cottage. She hurries home, opens the cellar doors, and through thick black smoke, she sees a pair of stubby legs sticking out of a barrel.
Papa?
How on earth did that happen?
Are you all right, Papa?
I'm about ready to give up on this hunk of junk.
You always say that.
I mean it this time. I'll never get this boneheaded contraption to work.
Yes, you will. And you'll win first prize at the fair tomorrow. And become a world-famous inventor.
You really believe that?
I always have.
Well,
what are we waiting for? I'll have this thing fixed in no time. Hand me that dog-legged clincher there. So, did you have a good time in town today?
I got a new book. Papa, do you think I'm odd?
My daughter?
Odd?
Where would you get an idea like that?
Oh, I don't know. It's just that I'm not sure I fit in here. There's no one I can really talk to.
What about that Gaston? He's a handsome fella.
He's handsome, all right. And rude and conceited and... Oh, Papa, he's not for me.
Well, don't you worry, because this invention's gonna be the start of a new life for us. I think that's done it. Now, let's give it a try.
Belle's portly, white-haired, mustachioed father, Maurice, pulls a lever activating pulleys, bellows, pipes and valves, and even a teapot that power an axe to chop a log that lands in a pile of chopped logs.
It works!
It does? It does!
You did it! You really did it!
Hitch up, pulley girl! I'm off to the fair!
A log hits him.
Goodbye, Papa! Good luck!
Goodbye, Belle. Take care.
Belle waves off her father, who leaves for market on a horse and cart with his invention covered by a tarpaulin. The narrow, snaking, unpaved road passes lines of haystacks and neat ploughed fields on its way down the valley towards jagged mountains. Riding astride the horse, Maurice crosses a small bridge on the edge of a forest.
We should be there by now. Maybe we missed a turn. I guess I should have taken a... Wait a minute.
In the darkness, Maurice holds up a lantern to an illegible signpost.
Now, let's go this way.
Philippe, his trusty steed, looks in the direction that Maurice has suggested. The path looks gloomy and unwelcoming. He tries to take his master on a different route.
Come on, Philippe, it's a shortcut. We'll be there in no time.
Head held low, Philippe trudges nervously along the dark path. He looks up warily at a full moon skulking behind clouds and spidery tree branches. He is startled by a shadowy figure flitting through the gloom.
This can't be right. Where have you taken us, Philippe?
We'd better turn around.
Oh boy.
Philippe backs into a tree, disturbing some bats. Frightened by the snarling, fluttering bats, Philippe charges through the forest like a bat out of hell. They come to a sudden stop on the edge of a cliff. Then Philippe carefully backs away.
That's bat, huh? Steady.
Philippe rears up and throws Maurice to the ground, making him drop the lantern that bursts into flames. Philippe gallops away, pursued by two wolves.
Philippe...
Maurice wearily gets to his feet and puts on his hat. More sharp-toothed, yellow-eyed wolves dart out of the gloom in pursuit of Maurice. He trips on a tree root. In front of him are a pair of tall iron gates.
Help! Is someone there?
He tumbles through the ornate gates and slams them on the snarling wolves who snap at his foot. He pulls himself free from the wolves' murderous jaws poking at him through the bars of the gates. He looks up in awe at the needle-like turrets of the castle looming up in front of him, stretching up into the dark, stormy sky and lit up by flashes of lightning. Dripping wet, he edges through the castle doors and peers into the imposing, cavernous gloom.
Hello? Poor fellow must have lost his way in the woods. Keep quiet. Maybe he'll go away. Is someone there? Not a word, Lemay. Not one word. I don't mean to intrude, but I've lost my horse and I need a place to stay for the night. Oh, Cogsworth, have a heart.
Lumiere, the candelabra, burns Cogsworth the clock with his candle arm.
Of course, monsieur, you're welcome here.
Who said that?
Over here.
Where? Hello.
Startled, Maurice drops the talking candelabra on the floor.
Incredible.
Well, now you've done it, Lumiere. Splendid. Just peachy.
Ah! How is this accomplished?
Put me down at once. Stop that. Stop that, I say.
Maurice turns a key in the back of Cogsworth's head, making his clock hands turn, then swings the pendulum in his chest.
Sir, close that at once, do you mind?
I beg your pardon. It's just that I've never seen a duck.
Cogsworth's clock hands move like windscreen wipers to clear the dust off his clock face.
Oh, you are soaked to the bone, monsieur. Come, warm yourself by the fire.
Thank you.
No, no, no. No, what the master will do will be fighting here. I demand that you stop right there. Oh, no, no, no. Not the master's chair. I'm not seeing this. I am not seeing this.
Well, hello there, boy.
A dog-like footstool wriggles under Maurice's feet and a spindly hat stand wraps a blanket round the guest.
What service?
All right, this has gone far enough. I'm in charge here.
How would you like a nice spot of tea, sir? It'll warm you up in no time.
No, no tea. No tea.
His mustache tickles, Mama.
Oh, hello.
Mrs. Potts, the talking teapot, and her son Chip, the teacup, tremble and clatter. The shadow of the horned beast spreads across the darkened room. He prowls in on all fours.
There's a stranger here.
Master, allow me to explain. The gentleman was lost in the woods. He was cold and wet, so...
Master, I'd like to take this moment to say... I was against this from the start. It was all his fault. I tried to stop them. Would they listen to me? No.
Maurice finds the horned, fanged beast right beside him.
Who are you? What are you doing here?
I was lost in the woods and...
You're not welcome here!
I'm sorry.
What are you staring at?
Nothing.
So, you've come to stare at the beast, have you?
Please, I meant no harm. I just needed a place to stay.
I'll give you a place to stay.
Oh, please!
The towering beast carries Maurice away. Meanwhile, LeFou and Gaston are spying on Belle's cottage.
Oh, boy. Belle's gonna get the surprise of her life, huh, Gaston?
Yep. This is her lucky day.
Gaston releases a branch that hits LeFou.
I'd like to thank you all for coming to my wedding. First, I better go in there and propose to the girl. You, LeFou. Now, when Belle and I come out that door...
Oh, I know. I know. I strike up the band.
Yet.
Sorry.
Belle puts down a book and goes to the front door. Through a spy hole, she sees the distorted, grinning Gaston, dressed for his wedding.
Oh. Gaston, what a pleasant surprise.
Isn't it, though? I'm just full of surprises. You know, Belle, there's not a girl in town who wouldn't love to be in your shoes. This is the day...
He checks his pearly white teeth in a mirror.
This is the day your dreams come true.
What do you know about my dreams, Gaston?
Plenty. Here, picture this. A rustic hunting lodge, my latest kill roasting on the fire, and my little wife massaging my feet. While the little ones play on the floor with the dogs. We'll have 6 or 7.
Dogs?
No, Belle. Strapping boys like me.
Imagine that.
Do you know who that little wife will be?
Let me think.
You, Belle.
Gaston, I'm speechless. I really don't know what to say.
Say you'll marry me.
I'm very sorry, Gaston, but I just don't deserve you. Whoa.
As he goes to kiss her, she opens the front door and he tumbles outside headfirst into a pond. LeFou, the conductor, turns to see Gaston's feet and backside sticking out of the water. A pig, perched on top of Gaston's head, is the first face to emerge from the water.
So, how'd it go?
I'll have Belle for my wife. Make no mistake about that.
Touchy.
Wiping his nose, Gaston strides away with a thunderous expression. Belle comes out of the cottage where chickens are feeding on the front steps.
Is he gone? Can you imagine? He asked me to marry him. Me, the wife of that boorish, brainless... Madame Gaston, can't you just see it? Madame Gaston, his little wife. No, sir, not me, I guarantee it. I want much more than this provincial life.
Belle scurries across a meadow high above the valley. Mountain peaks stretch off into the distance.
I want adventure in the great white somewhere. I want it more than I can tell. And for once it might be grand to have someone understand. I want so much more than they've got planned.
Philippe, what are you doing here? Where's Papa? Where is he, Philippe? What happened? Oh, we have to find him. You have to take me to him.
She uncouples the cart from the blonde-maned, copper-colored horse. Later, they ride up to the tall, imposing gates of the Beast's castle in the depths of the gloomy, inhospitable forest.
What is this place? Philippe, please.
Belle dismounts.
Steady.
She finds her father's hat just inside the gates.
Papa.
Couldn't keep quiet, could we? Just had to invite him to stay, didn't we? Serve him tea, sit in the master's chair, pet the pooch.
I was trying to be hospitable.
Hello? Is anyone here? Hello? Papa? Papa, are you here?
Mama, there's a girl in the castle.
Now, Chip, I'll not have you making up such wild stories.
Really, Mama? I saw her.
Not another word. But into the tub.
What girl? I saw a girl in the castle. See, I told ya.
Irresponsible, devil-may-care, waxy-eared, slack-jawed...
Papa?
Did you see that? It's a girl.
I know it's a girl.
Don't you see? She's the one. The girl we have been waiting for. She has come to break the spell.
Wait a minute.
Lumiere and Cogsworth scamper after Belle.
Papa? Hello? Is someone here? Wait. I'm looking for my father. That's funny. I'm sure there was someone. Is anyone here?
Belle?
Papa!
How did you find me?
Oh, your hands are like ice. We have to get you out of there.
Belle, I want you to leave this place.
Who's done this to you?
No time to explain. You must go, now.
I won't leave you.
What are you doing here?
Belle!
Who's there? Who are you?
The master of this castle.
Come for my father. Please, let him out. Can't you see he's sick?
Then he shouldn't have trespassed here.
But he could die. Please, I'll do anything.
There's nothing you can do. He's my prisoner.
Oh, there must be some way I can... Wait!
A sliver of light falls over Belle. The Beast lurks in the shadows.
Take me instead.
You! Take his place?
Belle, no! You don't know what you're doing!
If I did, would you let him go?
Yes. But you must promise to stay here forever.
Come into the light.
A clawed paw steps into the pool of light. Belle's eyes widen as the burly, towering beast reveals himself. He looks like a cross between a bull and a lion with blazing blue eyes and long, sharp fangs jutting up from his lower jaw.
No, Belle! I won't let you do this!
You have my word.
As the cloaked beast releases Maurice, Belle sinks to her knees in despair.
No, Belle, listen to me. I'm old. I've lived my life.
Wait.
Belle!
Wait!
No, please spare my daughter. Please!
She's no longer your concern. Oh. Take him to the village.
Let me out!
Maurice is bundled away in a box-like carriage that comes to life and scuttles away on wooden, spidery legs.
Master?
Since the girl is going to be with us for quite some time, I was thinking that you might want to offer her a more comfortable room. Then again, maybe not.
You didn't even let me say goodbye. I'll never see him again. And I didn't get to say goodbye.
I'll show you to your room.
My room? But I thought...
You want to stay in the tower?
No.
Then follow me.
Belle follows the beast through the labyrinthine darkness of the castle. She's startled by the demonic scowling faces carved into the stone walls. Tears roll down Belle's cheeks. The beast holds Lumiere to light the way. The talking candelabra leans into him.
Say something to her.
Huh? Oh, I hope you like it here.
Lumiere urges him on.
The castle is your home now, so you can go anywhere you like. Except the West Wing.
What's in the West...
It's forbidden!
He opens the door of her room and a faint path of light falls across the floor.
Now, if you need anything, my servants will attend you.
Dinner. Invite her to dinner.
You will join me for dinner. That's not a request!
The room is plunged into darkness. Belle throws herself face down on her bed and sobs. A snowstorm whips around the austere, forbidding castle. The blizzard blows through the town, where Gaston is slumped in a chair in the tavern, in front of a roaring fire.
Who does she think she is? That girl has tangled with the wrong man. No one says no to Gaston.
Darn right.
Dismissed. Rejected. Publicly humiliated. Why, it's more than I can bear.
More beer?
What for? Nothing helps. I'm disgraced.
Who, you? Never. Gaston, you've got to pull yourself together. Gosh, it disturbs me to see you, Gaston, looking so down in the dumps. Every guy here'd love to be you, Gaston, even when taking your lumps. There's no man in town as admired as you. You're everyone's favorite guy. Everyone's awed and inspired by you. And it's not very hard to see why. No one's slick as Gaston. No one's quick as Gaston. No one's next as incredibly thick as Gaston. For there's no man in town half as manly. Perfect, a pure paragon. You can ask any Tom, Dick, or Stanley, and they'll tell you whose team they prefer to be on. No one's big like Gaston, fucking big like Gaston. No one's got a swell cleft in his chin like Gaston.
As a specimen, yes, I'm intimidating.
I want a guy like Gaston. Give five for us.
Gaston is the best, and the rest is all the rip.
No one like Gaston knows his life is Gaston.
In a wrestling match, nobody fights like Gaston.
For there's no one as burly and brawny.
As you see, I've got biceps to spare.
Not a bit of him scraggly or scrawny.
That's right. And every last inch of me's covered with hair.
No one hits like Gaston.
In a spitting match, nobody spits like Gaston.
I'm especially good at expectorating.
10 points for Gaston.
When I was a lad, I ate 4 dozen eggs every morning to help me get large. And now that I'm grown, I eat 5 dozen eggs, so I'm roughly the size of a barge.
And goes tromping around wearing boots like Gaston.
I use antlers in all of my decorating.
Gaston comes crashing down on Gap-Tooth LeFou.
Help! Someone help me!
Maurice?
Please, please, I need your help. He's got her locked in the dungeon.
Who?
Belle. We must go. Not a minute to lose.
Whoa, slow down, Maurice. Who's got Belle locked in a dungeon?
A beast! A horrible, monstrous beast!
Is it a big beast, you?
With a long, ugly snout?
Hideously ugly.
And sharp, cruel fangs?
Yes, yes. Will you help me?
All right, old man. We'll help you out.
You will? Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Maurice is thrown out into the snow.
Crazy old Maurice. He's always good for a laugh.
Crazy old Maurice, Crazy old Maurice. LeFou, I'm afraid I've been thinking.
A dangerous pastime?
I know. But that wacky old coot is Belle's father, and his sanity's only so-so. Now the wheels in my head have been turning since I looked at that loony old man. See, I promised myself I'd be married to Belle, and right now I'm evolving a plan.
Yes.
Then we got out of this.
No, would she?
I got to guess.
Now I get it. Let's go!
No one plots like Gaston. Takes cheap shots like Gaston.
Plans to persecute harmless crackpots like Gaston.
For his marriage, this soon will be celebrated.
Maurice is alone in the blizzard.
Will no one help me?
Who is it?
Mrs. Potts, dear. I thought you might like a spot of tea.
But you're a...
Oh! Careful!
This is impossible.
I know it is. Here we are.
I told you she was pretty, Mama, didn't I?
All right, Chip, now that'll do. Slowly now. Don't spill.
Thank you.
Want to see me do a trick?
Chip blows bubbles.
Chip!
Oops, sorry.
That was a very brave thing you did, my dear.
We all think so.
But I've lost my father, my dreams, everything.
Cheer up, child. It'll turn out all right in the end. You'll see. Oh, listen to me. Jabbering on while there's a supper to get on the table. Chip.
Bye.
Well, now, what shall we dress you in for dinner? Oh, let's see what I got in my drawers. Oh,
how embarrassing.
Oh, here we are. You'll look ravishing in this one.
That's very kind of you, but I'm not going to dinner.
But you must.
Dinner is served.
The beast is pacing.
What's taking so long? I told her to come down. Why isn't she here yet?
Oh, try to be patient, sir. The girl has lost her father and her freedom all in one day.
Master, have you thought that perhaps this girl could be the one to break the spell?
Of course I have. I'm not a fool.
Good. So, you fall in love with her, she falls in love with you, and poof, the spell is broken. We'll be human again by midnight.
Oh, it's not that easy, Lumiere. These things take time.
But the rose has already begun to wilt.
Oh, it's no use. She's so beautiful, and I'm... Well, look at me!
Lumiere shrugs at Mrs. Potts.
Oh, you must help her to see past all that.
I don't know how.
Well, you can start by making yourself more presentable. Straighten up. Try to act like a gentleman.
Ah, yes. When she comes in, give her a dashing, debonair smile. Come, come, show me the smile.
But don't frighten the poor girl.
Impress her with your rapier wit.
But be gentle.
Shower her with compliments.
But be sincere.
And above all,
you must control your temper.
Here she is.
Cogsworth peers round the door.
Good evening.
Well, where is she?
The girl. Yes, the girl. Well, actually, she's in the process of circumstances being what they are. She's not coming.
What?
Your Grace! Your Eminence! Let's go, beep, beep, beep!
I thought I told you to come down for dinner.
I'm not hungry.
You'll come out or I'll break down the door.
Master, I could be wrong, but that may not be the best way to win the girl's affections.
Please, attempt to be a gentleman.
But she is being so difficult.
Gently, gently.
Will you come down to dinner?
No.
Suave, genteel.
It would give me great pleasure if you would join me for dinner. Please.
No, thank you.
You can't stay in there forever.
Yes, I can.
Fine. Then go ahead and starve! If she doesn't eat with me, then she doesn't eat at all.
Oh dear, that didn't go very well at all, did it?
Lumiere, stand watch at the door and inform me at once if there is the slightest change.
You can count on me, mon capitaine.
Well, we might as well go downstairs and start cleaning up.
I asked nicely, but she refuses. What does she want me to do? Beg? Show me the girl.
In the magic mirror, he sees wardrobe and bell.
Well, the master's really not so bad once you get to know him. Why don't you give him a chance?
I don't want to get to know him. I don't want to have anything to do with him.
I'm just fooling myself. She'll never see me as anything but a monster.
Inside the glass case, a petal falls from the enchanted rose.
It's hopeless.
The beast runs a paw across his face in despair. Outside, the snow is settling on the diamond-patterned leaded windows. The door of Belle's room opens and she peeks out at the imposing high-walled corridor, passing a curtain that has three hazy spots of light dancing around behind it. It's Lumiere, who's with a feather duster.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I've been burnt by you before.
Lumiere spots Belle.
Zut alors, she has emerged.
In the kitchen, Mrs. Potts and Chip are perched on a sideboard.
Come on, Chip. Into the cupboard with your brothers and sisters.
But I'm not sleepy.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
I work and I slave all day long, and for what? A culinary masterpiece gone to waste!
Don't stop your grousing. It's been a long night for all of us.
Well, if you ask me, she was just being stubborn. After all, he could say please.
But if the master doesn't learn to control that temper, he'll never break the...
Splendid to see you out and about, mademoiselle. I am Cogsworth, head of the household.
Lumiere hops between Belle and Cogsworth.
This is Lumiere.
Enchanté, chérie.
If there's something, anything we can do to make your stay more comfortable.
Ow!
I am a little hungry.
You are? Hear that? She's hungry. Stoke the fire. Break out the silver. Wake the china.
Remember what the master said?
Oh, pish tosh. I'm not about to let the poor child go hungry.
All right, fine. Glass of water, crust of bread, and then...
Cogsworth, I am surprised at you. She's not a prisoner. She's our guest. We must make her feel welcome here. Right this way, mademoiselle.
Well, keep it down. If the master finds out about this, it will be our necks.
Of course, of course. But what is dinner without a little music?
Music?
A cabaret spotlight falls on Lumiere.
Ma chère mademoiselle, it is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight. And now... we invite you to relax, let us pull up a chair, as the dining room proudly presents your dinner. Be our guest, be our guest, put our service to the test. Tie your napkin round your neck, chérie, and we provide the rest. Soup du jour, hot hors d'oeuvre, why, we only live to serve. Try the gray stuff, it's delicious. Don't believe me? Ask the dishes. They can sing, they can dance. After all, miss, this is France, and a dinner here is never second best. Go on, unfold your menu, take a glance, and then you'll be our guest. We our guest, be our guest.
beef ragout, cheese souffle, pie and pudding on flambé. We'll prepare and serve with flair a culinary cabaret. You're alone and you're scared, but the banquet's all prepared. No one's gloomy or complaining while the flatware's entertaining. We tell jokes, I do tricks with my fellow candlesticks.
But it's all in perfect taste that you can bear.
Come on and lift your glass. You've won your own free pass to be our guest. If you're stressed, it's fine dining, we suggest. Be our guest, be our guest, be our guest. Life is so unnerving for a servant who's not serving. He's not whole without a soul to wait upon. Ah, those good old days when we were useful. Suddenly, those good old days are gone.
Oh.
10 years we've been rusting, needing so much more than dusting, needing exercise, a chance to use our skills. Most days we just lay around the castle. Flabby, fat, and lazy, you walked in and oops, it's easy.
It's a guest, it's a guest. Sakes alive, and I'll be blessed. Wise been poured, and thank the Lord, I've had the napkins freshly pressed. With dessert, she'll want tea, and my dear, that's fine with me. While the cups do this, I'll shoo it, I'll be bubbling, I'll be brewing, I'll get warm, I've been hot. Heaven's sakes, is that a spot? Clean it up, we want the company. We've got a lot to do. Is it one lump or two for you, our guest?
She's our guest.
She's our guest.
People, thongs over, over here, line up. Not
there! There isn't sweet anybody here, and we're obsessed. Who's your deal? Who's your deal? Says to me, we have to meet. While the candle lights still glowing, when the candle will be glowing.
For spy. One by one, till you shout,
get out my tongue.
Then we'll sing you off to sleep as you digest. Tonight you'll prop your feet up, but for now let's eat up. Be our guest, be our guest, be our guest. Please be our guest.
Bravo. That was wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you, mademoiselle. Good show, wasn't it? Yeah, everyone.
My goodness, look at the time.
Now it's off to bed, off to bed.
Oh, I couldn't possibly go to bed now. It's my first time in an enchanted castle.
Enchanted? Who said anything about the castle being enchanted? It was you, wasn't it?
I figured it out for myself.
Cogsworth pulls Lumiere's nose.
Oh,
no. I'd like to look around, if that's all right.
Oh, would you like a tour?
Wait a second. I'm not sure that's such a good idea. We can't let her go poking around in certain places, if you know what I mean.
Perhaps you'd like to take me. I'm sure you know everything there is to know about the castle.
Oh, well, actually, yes, I do. As you can see, the pseudo-facade was stripped away to reveal a minimalist rococo design. Note the unusual inverted vaulted ceilings. This is yet another example of the late neoclassic Baroque period. And, as I always say, if it's not Baroque, don't fix it. where was I?
He turns to suits of armor.
As you were. Now then, if I may draw your attention to the flying buttresses above the... mademoiselle?
Belle gingerly approaches a grand staircase. Cogsworth and Lumiere hurriedly block her path.
What's up there?
Where? There? Oh, nothing. Absolutely nothing of interest at all in the West Wing. Dusty, dull, very boring.
Ah, so that's the West Wing.
Oop.
Nice going.
I wonder what he's hiding up there.
Hiding? The master is hiding nothing.
Then it wouldn't be forbidden.
Perhaps mademoiselle would like to see something else. We have exquisite tapestries dating all the way back to...
Maybe later.
The gardens or the library, perhaps.
You have a library?
Oh, yes. Yeah, oh, indeed.
With books?
Scans of books.
Mountains of books.
Forests of books.
Cascades.
Cloudbursts.
Swamps of books.
More books than you'll ever be able to read in a lifetime. Books on every subject ever studied. I've ever, ever, ever sent pen to paper.
Lumiere and Cogsworth waddle away arm in arm with footstools scampering around them. Instead of following them, Belle slips away up the stairs towards the west wing. She slowly walks along a gloomy corridor lined with demonic statues in contorted, agonizing poses. She passes a broken mirror that distorts her reflection. She reaches large double doors with brass handles that look like a monster's face. She reaches for the handles, but then stops and looks round with a guilty, wary expression. She pulls the door open and peers into the gloom, lit by a shaft of light from the doorway. Belle picks her way through the vast, cavernous room that is wrecked and littered with torn drapes, broken furniture, and ripped paintings hanging from the walls at awkward angles. She bumps into a side table and catches it before it hits the floor. She's drawn to a portrait that was torn by the beast in his rage after the spell was cast on him. A pair of vivid blue eyes stare out from the lacerated painting. She lifts the hanging flap of torn canvas below the eyes, and her brown eyes narrow as she studies the ragged jigsaw. She spots the enchanted pink rose in its glass bell jar. A shower of bright lights like tiny stars pour out of the glowing rose suspended in midair. She lifts off the glass cover and reaches out to touch the flower. A shadow falls over her. The beast leaps down in front of her and quickly replaces the glass cover.
Why did you come here?
I'm sorry.
I warned you never to come here.
I didn't mean any harm.
Do you realize what you could have done? Get out!
No!
Get out!
The furious beast watches Belle career out of the room. His rage melts into regret and he bows his head, hiding his face in his huge paw. Belle grabs her cloak as she dashes down the stairs.
Where are you going?
Promise or no promise, I can't stay here another minute.
Oh, no, wait. Please. Please wait.
Riding Philippe, Belle thunders through the castle gates and into the forest thick with snow, flakes billowing round them. Startled birds fly out from the skeletal trees. Philippe stops, reluctant to go any further. A pack of sneering, snarling wolves emerge from behind the trees and encircle them. Philippe makes a bolt for it, and the wolves race after them. A wolf pounces at Philippe, but he charges on. Philippe and Belle fall through ice into a freezing pond. They struggle on, pushing against the ice with the wolves almost upon them. They manage to climb out of the water and gallop off deeper into the forest. But the wolves head them off, blocking their escape route. Philippe rears up and throws Belle into the snow, getting his reins caught in the branches of a tree, leaving him at the mercy of the ferocious wolves. A wolf clambers onto his back, but Belle beats it off with a stick. There are more than a dozen of them now as they close in on Belle. She lashes out with her stick, but it snaps in the jaws of an attacker. The beast suddenly appears and plucks a pouncing wolf out of the air, tossing it aside like a rag doll. He positions himself between the wolves and Belle. They attack as one, biting Belle's protector and tearing his cloak. As quickly as he throws a wolf off, another leaps on him. One wolf is thrown against a tree and hits the ground dead. The rest of the pack turn tail and run off into the forest. With clouds of breath blowing from his nostrils, the beast slumps exhaustedly face down in the snow. Belle is about to leave on Philippe, but she stops and looks concerned. She rushes over to help her stricken rescuer. Moments later, the unconscious beast is slumped on Philippe, wrapped in Belle's cloak. In the castle, Belle pours hot water from Mrs. Potts into a bowl, then wrings a cloth out in it.
Here now. Oh, don't do that.
The beast recoils defensively as Belle tries to wash his gashed arm.
Just hold still.
That hurts!
If you'd hold still, it wouldn't hurt as much.
Well, if you hadn't have run away, this wouldn't have happened.
If you hadn't frightened me, I wouldn't have run away.
Well, you shouldn't have been in the West Wing!
Well, you should learn to control your temper.
The household staff look on expectantly.
Now hold still. This might sting a little.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, thank you for saving my life.
He looks taken aback. His fierce expression softens.
You're welcome.
In a shadowy corner of the tavern, Gaston and LeFou are at a table with a cadaverous man with thinning gray hair and a hooked nose.
I don't usually leave the asylum in the middle of the night, but he said you'd make it worth my while. Ah, I'm listening.
It's like this. I've got my heart set on marrying Belle, but she needs a little persuasion.
Turned him down flat.
Everyone knows her father's a lunatic. He was in here tonight, raving about a beast in a castle.
Maurice is harmless.
The point is, Belle would do anything to keep him from being locked up.
Yeah, even marry him.
Gaston raises his hand to LeFou.
So you want me to throw her father into the asylum unless she agrees to marry you? Oh, that is despicable. I love it.
In the cottage.
If no one will help me, then I'll go back alone. Is that everything? I don't care what it takes. I'll find that castle and somehow I'll get her out of there.
As Maurice sets off into the night on foot, a horse and cart pulls up outside the cottage.
Belle! Maurice!
Oh, well. Guess it's not gonna work after all.
They have to come back sometime, and when they do, we'll be ready for them. LeFou, don't move from that spot until Belle and her father come home.
Nuts.
LeFou hits a barrel full of snow and is buried by the mini avalanche. From a high castle balcony, the beasts Lumiere and Cogsworth watch Belle slowly leading Philippe by his reins. The footstool scampers out to meet her and playfully leaps into a pile of snow. Wearing a hooded cloak over a pale green gown, she crouches down to gather up the enthusiastic dog-like footstool.
I've never felt this way about anyone. I want to do something for her. But what?
Well, there's the usual things. Flowers, chocolates, promises you don't intend to keep.
Ah, no, no. It has to be something very special. Something that sparks her interest. Wait a minute.
Inside the castle, the beast stops at a door.
Belle, there's something I want to show you. But first, you have to close your eyes.
She arches an eyebrow.
It's a surprise.
She closes her eyes, but he waves a paw in front of her face to make sure she's not peeking. He opens double doors and leads her by the hands into an elegant, high-walled room.
Can I open them?
No, not yet. Wait here.
He throws open huge curtains, and sunlight floods in.
Now can I open them?
All right. Now.
She gazes in awe at row upon row of books that run around all the walls from floor to a very high ceiling.
I can't believe it. I've never seen so many books in all my life.
You like it?
It's wonderful.
Then it's yours.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, would you look at that?
I knew it would work.
What? What works?
It's very encouraging.
Isn't this exciting?
I didn't see anything.
Come along, Chip. There's chores to be done in the kitchen.
But what are they talking about? What's going on? Come on, Mom.
At breakfast, a milk jug and a sugar bowl pour some of their contents into Belle's bowl. She eats daintily with a spoon, but is shocked to see the beast sitting opposite her, devouring his food with no thought of any table manners. Chip and Mrs. Potts look expectantly at Belle, who takes another dainty spoonful. Chip nudges a spoon towards his master. He grabs it in his mighty paw and eats just as messily as before. Mrs. Potts glares at her giggling son. Belle puts down her spoon and, smiling warmly at the beast, lifts up her bowl. Smiling at her, He does the same, and they both gulp the contents straight into their mouths. Outside in the snow, Belle sprinkles some seeds into the beast's paws for him to feed the birds.
There's something sweet and almost kind, but he was mean and he was coarse and unrefined. And now he's dear and so unsure, I wonder why I didn't see it there before.
He's unintentionally scaring the birds, so she pours more birdseed into his paws and makes a little trail for the birds to follow. A tiny bluebird pecks at the trail and flutters into the beast's cupped paws. He beams.
She glanced this way, I thought I saw. And when we touched, she didn't shudder at my paw. No, it can't be, I'll just ignore. But then she's never looked at me that way before.
Alarming. Who'd have ever thought that this could be true? That he's no Prince Charming, but there's something in him that I simply didn't see.
Who'd have thought?
Well, bless my soul.
Well, who'd have known?
Well, who indeed?
And who'd have guessed it come together on their own?
It's so peculiar.
Well, wait and see. A few days more. There may be something there that wasn't there before.
You know, perhaps there's something there that wasn't there before.
What?
There may be something there that wasn't there before.
What's there, Mama?
Shh. I'll tell you when you're older.
In his bath, the beast is being soaked and scrubbed by the spindly hat stand.
Tonight is the night!
I'm not sure I can do this.
You don't have time to be timid. You must be bold, daring.
Bold, daring.
The beast shakes himself dry, leaving his hairy coat all frizzy.
There will be music, romantic candlelight, provided by myself. And when the moment is right, you confess your love.
Yes, I can... No, I can't.
You care for the girl, don't you?
More than anything.
Well, then, you must tell her. Voila! Oh, you look so... so...
stupid.
Not quite the word I was looking for. Perhaps a little more off the top.
The hat stand gives his master a quick trim.
Your lady awaits.
Wearing a golden off-the-shoulder ball gown, Belle sweeps down one side of a magnificent staircase onto a central landing. With a prompt from Lumiere, the barefoot beast in a royal blue tailcoat, a white neckerchief, golden waistcoat and black breeches strides manfully down the opposite staircase to meet her on the landing. He gives her a stately bow and she curtsies.
Tale as old as time. As it can be. Barely even friends, then somebody bends unexpectedly. Just a little change, small to say the least, both a little scared, neither one prepared. Beauty and the Beast. Ever just the same. Ever a surprise. Ever as before. Ever just as sure as the sun will rise. Tale as old as time. Tune as old as song. Bittersweet and strange. Finding you can change. Learning you were wrong. Certain as the sun. Rising in the east. Tale as old as time. Song as old as rhyme. Beauty and the Beast.
Tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme, Beauty and the Beast.
Off to the cupboard with you now, Chip. It's past your bedtime. Good night, love.
Chip, the Chip teacup, hops out of a door on his way to bed, but takes a last peek at Beauty and the Beast dancing round the ballroom. The couple go out onto a moonlit terrace. Under a clear sky scattered with stars like twinkling diamonds, they perch shyly on a balustrade.
Belle? Are you happy here with me?
Yes.
With her tiny hands in his huge paws, she turns away to look beyond the fir trees.
What is it?
If only I could see my father again. Just for a moment. I miss him so much.
They both look downcast, but the Beast suddenly brightens up as a thought hits him.
There is a way.
He leads her back inside, to the west wing.
This mirror will show you anything. Anything you wish to see.
I'd like to see my father, please.
Her eyes are dazzled by a searing green light emanating from the mirror that clears to show her father collapsing in the forest.
Papa! Oh, no. He's sick. He may be dying, and he's all alone.
He turns to the drooping rose in its glass case with an agonized expression.
Then you must go to him.
What did you say?
I release you. You're no longer my prisoner.
You mean I'm free?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Hold on, Papa. I'm on my way.
Take it with you, so you'll always have a way to look back and remember me.
Thank you for understanding how much he needs me.
As she turns to go, she gently touches his cheek. He reaches for her, but she hurries off past Cogsworth.
Well, Your Highness, I must say everything is going just swimmingly. I knew you had it in you.
I let her go.
Yes, yes. You. What? How could you do that?
I had to.
Yes, but why?
Because I love her.
He did what?
Yes. I'm afraid it's true.
He's going away?
But he was so close.
After all this time, he's finally learned to love.
That's it, then. That should break the spell.
But it's not enough. She has to love him in return.
Now it's too late.
Chip hops away. The Beast lets out a mighty roar as Belle gallops away on Philippe.
Papa! Papa!
She finds him face down in the snow. Later, she helps him up the front steps of their cottage where Le Fou is disguised as a snowman.
Ooh! They're back!
He dashes away.
Belle!
It's all right, Papa. I'm home.
I thought I'd never see you again.
I missed you so much.
But the Beast, how did you escape?
I didn't escape, Papa. He let me go.
That horrible Beast?
But he's different now, Papa. He's changed somehow.
Chip and the mirror fall out of Belle's bag.
Hi!
Oh, a stowaway.
Why, hello there, little fella. Didn't think I'd see you again.
Belle, why'd you go away? Don't you like us anymore?
Oh, Chip, of course I do. It's just that...
The skeletal Monsieur Dark is at the door with a mob.
May I help you?
I've come to collect your father.
My father?
Don't worry, mademoiselle. We'll take good care of him.
My father's not crazy.
He was raving like a lunatic. We all heard him, didn't we?
No! I won't let you.
Belle?
Maurice! Tell us again, old man. Just how big was the beast?
He was enormous. I'd say at least 8. No, more like 10 feet.
Well, you don't get much crazier than that.
It's true, I tell you.
Get him out of here.
Call me.
No, you can't do this.
Poor Belle. It's a shame about your father.
You know he's not crazy, Gaston.
I might be able to clear up this little misunderstanding. If...
If what?
If you marry me.
What?
One little word, Belle, that's all it takes.
Never.
Have it your way.
Belle! Go of me!
My father's not crazy, and I can prove it. Show me the beast.
Belle holds up the glowing mirror to reveal the beast roaring.
Is it dangerous?
Oh, no, no, he'd never hurt anyone. Please, I know he looks vicious, but he's really kind and gentle. He's my friend.
If I didn't know better, I'd think you had feelings for this monster.
He's no monster, Gaston. You are.
She's as crazy as the old man.
The beast will make off with your children. He'll come after them in the night.
No.
We're not safe till his head is mounted on my wall. I say we kill the beast.
We're not safe until he's dead.
He'll come stalking us at night.
Set to sacrifice our children to his monstrous appetite.
He'll wreak havoc on our village if we let him wander free.
So it's time to take some action, boys. It's time to follow me.
Through the woods, through the darkness and the shadows. It's a nightmare, but it's one exciting ride. Say a prayer, then we're there at the drawbridge of a castle, and there's something truly terrible inside. It's a beast. He's got fangs, razor sharp ones, massive paws, killer claws for the feast. Hear him roar, see him foam, but we're not coming home till he's dead. Good and dead! Kill the beast!
No! Let you do this.
If you're not with us, you're against us. Bring the old man.
Get your hands off me.
We can't have them running off to warn the creature.
Let us out.
We'll rid the village of this beast. Who's with me?
Mount your torch, mount your horse.
Screw your courage to the sticking place.
We're counting on Gaston to lead the way. Through a mist, through a wood, we're within a haunted castle. Something's lurking that you don't see every day. It's a beast, one as tall as a mountain. We won't rest till he's good and deceased. Sally forth, sally ho, grab your sword, grab your glove. There's no more, and here we go.
We'll lay siege to the castle and bring back his head.
I have to warn the beast. This is all my fault. Oh, Papa, what are we going to do?
No. We'll think of something.
Chip gazes through the cellar window at the imprisoned Belle and Maurice.
Oh!
He spots Maurice's axe contraption.
We don't like what we don't understand. In fact, it scares us, and this monster is mysterious at least. Bring your guns, bring your knives, save your children and your wives. We'll save our village and our lives. Kill the beast.
I knew it. I knew it was foolish to get our hopes up.
Maybe it would have been better if she'd never come at all. Could it be?
Is it she?
Sacre bleu! Invaders!
Encroachers!
And they have the mirror!
Warn the master. If it's a fight they want, we'll be ready for them. Who's with me?
Take whatever booty you can find. But remember, the beast is mine!
The mind's a place that is high. We go marching into battle unafraid, although the danger just increased. Raise the flag, see the soul. Here we come, the 50 strong and 50 men with the heavy ball.
Leave me in peace.
But, sir, the castle is under attack.
Kill the beast! Kill the beast!
This isn't working.
Halumia, we must do something.
Wait, I know.
Kill the beast!
What should we do, master?
It doesn't matter now. Just let them come.
The mob beats open the castle doors with a battering ram. Their flaming torches cast light on a clutter of furniture and household objects lining the hallway. Le Fou picks up Lumiere.
Now!
The clutter comes to life and attacks them all. A pair of cabinets sandwich a peasant and clatter him with their drawers. Another is rolled up in a rug and deposited in a chest that snaps shut with a lick of its lips. Gaston escapes the mayhem. Chip has got the steam-powered contraption working.
Here we go!
It rumbles towards the cottage.
What the devil? Bell, look out!
The wheezing and whistling contraption breaks through the cellar doors.
You guys gotta try this thing.
In the trashed castle, a row of tankards fire tomatoes.
Up here, you scurvy scum! Now!
Mrs. Potts and her teacup offspring rain down boiling water on the intruders. Elsewhere, Gaston kicks open some double doors and takes aim with a bow and arrow, but finds the room deserted. Wardrobe traps a peasant inside her, and he jumps out in a dress, high heels, and a beehive wig. Le Fou has Lumiere cornered, waving a flaming torch under his wax nose. As Lumiere starts to melt, a swashbuckling Cogsworth slides down a banister and pricks LeFou's backside with sword-like scissors. Belle and Maurice gallop through the forest on Philippe. Lumiere burns the backside of a peasant who's pulling Fifi the duster's feathers out. LeFou leads a posse after Footstool, who scampers into the kitchen. Out of the darkness, an army of sharp knives spring up out of drawers, and the stove fires up.
And stay out!
Lumiere gives Cogsworth a Gallic victory kiss as the townsfolk flee. Gaston, wielding his bow and arrow, finds the beast gazing mournfully out of a window in the west wing. The beast glances over his shoulder indifferently as Gaston takes aim. The arrow lands in the beast's back and Gaston shoves him out of the window onto the rain-swept terrace. The dastardly attacker leaps after the beast and kicks him off the terrace and onto a flying buttress.
Get up! Get up! What's the matter, beast? Too kind and gentle to fight back!
The beast makes no attempt to move as Gaston breaks off a spear-like, jagged piece of stonework. The beast spots Belle down below.
Belle.
No! Gaston, don't!
Gaston swings the stone like an axe, but the beast blocks his blow.
Let's go, Philippe.
Belle bursts inside the castle on Philippe. As lightning tears across the stormy sky, Gaston backs away from the advancing beast. Gaston slides down a rooftop, but clings on by his fingertips. Belle is hurrying up the stairs. Gaston takes a mighty swing with his stone club and slices the head off a gargoyle.
Come on out and fight! Were you in love with her, beast? Did you honestly think she'd want you when she had someone like me?
The beast emerges from his hiding place in the shadows amongst the hunched gargoyles and attacks his rival.
It's over, beast! Belle is mine!
The beast grabs Gaston by the throat and dangles him off the edge of the roof.
Let me go! Please, don't hurt me! I'll do anything! Anything!
The beast's ferocious, clenched teeth expression suddenly gives way to wide-eyed confusion. He drags Gaston away from danger.
Get out.
Beast!
Belle.
From a balcony, Belle reaches out to him. He climbs up the side of the building towards her.
Belle.
He takes her tiny, slender hand in his brutish paw.
You came back.
Gaston plunges a knife into the beast's flank. The beast lashes out at him and Gaston loses his balance. Belle grabs the beast to stop him from falling. Gaston plummets to his death. Belle helps the beast clamber onto the terrace, just as Lumiere, Mrs. Potts and Cogsworth shuffle up to the doorway looking horrified. Belle gently eases him down and strokes his cheek.
You came back.
Of course I came back. I couldn't let them... Oh, this is all my fault. If only I'd gotten here sooner.
Maybe. It's better. It's better this way.
Don't talk like that. You'll be all right. We're together now. Everything's going to be fine. You'll see.
And at least I got to see you one last time.
He caresses her cheek and she closes her eyes, leaning into his touch. His paw slowly slips away and his eyes close, his head falling back onto the stone floor.
Please don't leave me. I love you.
As she sobs on his mighty chest, the final petal slowly falls from the enchanted rose. Lumiere, Mrs. Potts and Cogsworth look mournful. Stair rods of bright light rain down around Belle and the Beast, leaving a sprinkling of twinkling lights on the floor like a carpet of diamonds. Slowly, the Beast's body rises up in a hazy column of smoke and light. His voluminous cape wraps itself round him like a shroud. The Beast's body levitates and slowly spins. An outstretched paw transforms into a human hand with beams of light shooting out of the fingertips. Clawed feet flex and transform into human feet in a blaze of light. The cape slips away as the beast spins in midair and his thick-set hairy face washes away in an explosion of light to reveal the clean-shaven features of a young man. Transformed body slowly drifts to the floor like a fallen petal. The young man gets up with his back to a stunned Belle, gazing at his hands in wonder. He spins round to reveal a handsome blue-eyed prince with lustrous shoulder-length auburn hair.
Belle, it's me.
Not quite believing her eyes, she reaches out and touches his hair. He gazes at her with his wide, blazing blue eyes, the same eyes she saw in the lacerated portrait, her brown eyes widen with recognition.
It is you.
They gaze at each other, and their lips slowly meet. As they kiss passionately, spirals of twinkling blue lights whiz round them like Saturn's rings. A single twinkling light shoots into the night sky high above the castle and explodes like a firework. Twinkling red lights wash away the darkness. Gargoyles become beautiful statues, and Lumiere becomes a skinny Frenchman.
Lumiere? Cogsworth! Oh! Mrs. Potts! Look at us!
Mama! Mama!
Chip becomes a little boy, and Footstool, a shaggy dog.
Oh, my goodness!
It is a miracle!
The prince twirls Belle round and they find themselves dressed in their elegant finery, waltzing around a ballroom as guests look on.
Ah, l'amour.
Lumiere's pursuit of a maid with a feather duster is interrupted by Cogsworth.
Well, Lumiere, old friend, shall we let bygones be bygones?
Of course, mon ami. I told you she would break the spell.
I beg your pardon, old friend. And I believe I told you.
No, you didn't. I told you.
You most certainly did not, you pompous, paraffin-headed pea-brain.
Oh, God, you overgrown pocket watch.
Oh, take that.
Stop shopping.
Mrs. Potts, Chip and Maurice watch the Prince and Belle dance.
Are they going to live happily ever after, Mama?
Of course, my dear. Of course.
Do I still have to sleep in the cupboard?
To our friend Howard, who gave a mermaid her voice and a beast his soul. We will be forever grateful. Howard Ashman, 1950 to 1991. IMS Audio Description by Michael Woodford.